I want to read from 2 Chronicles 29. I'm going to read to verse 16. Then we're going to move down to verse 30 and read to the end of the chapter and reading the first verse of chapter 30. So it's 2 Chronicles 29 and reading from verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old. He reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, your fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Then the Levites arose, Mahath the son of Amasai, and Joel the son of Azariah, and the sons of the Kohathites, and the sons of Mariah, Kish the son of Abdi, and Azariah the son of Jehalalel, and of the Gershonites, Joah the son of Zimah, and Eden the son of Joah, and the sons of Elizaphan, Shimri, and Jael, and the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mattaniah, and the sons of Heman, Jehiel, and Shimei, and the sons of Jeduthun, Shemaiah, and Uzziel. And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king by the word of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. Please move down then to verse 30. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. The congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. The number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks, 100 rams, and 200 lambs. All these were of a burnt offering to the Lord. And the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren the Levites did help them till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. Amen. And we'll end our reading at verse 1 and trust that the Lord himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible truth. Hezekiah was one of the greatest kings in Judah's history. After David, he stands out perhaps as possibly even certainly one of the greatest kings after David. And there are a number of things in his life and in his reign that happened during his reign that set his reign apart for special notice and commendation. One of them is recorded in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles and the chapter 30. It tells us Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. What that verse tells us is that Hezekiah sent letters or posts to every tribe from Israel. And it mentions particularly Ephraim and Manasseh. He reigned in Judah. But he sent letters or posts to every tribe in Israel, inviting them, encouraging them, beseeching them to come to the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem to observe the feast of the Passover. You see, in his father's reign, in the reign of Ahaz, the Passover had been completely neglected. It had not been observed for many, many years. It was one of the three feasts of the Lord that all Jewish men were to attend the temple each year to commemorate and celebrate. You know, the Passover was not only one of the Jewish religious feasts, it was also a picture and a visible presentation or representation of the gospel and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think the Passover is the most well-known of the Jewish feasts because we learn it as children in Sunday school and in children's meetings. And it's that night, it commenced that night, when God delivered Israel from Egypt. Do you remember what they did? Moses commanded the children of Israel, take a lamb, and it had to be without blemish. Because the lamb pictured Christ, and Christ was without blemish and without spot. And they separated that unblemished lamb from the flock. And then they slew the lamb. They killed the lamb, but its blood had to be shed. And Moses commanded them to take the blood of the lamb with the hyssop and to sprinkle it upon the doorposts of their house. And then they roast the lamb in the fire and they fed upon it that night. And the death angel came down, and when he saw the blood, he passed over the people. And judgment didn't come to those who had the blood upon the doorposts of their houses. What a picture and presentation of the gospel. For Jesus Christ is our sinless and our spotless and our pure lamb. And there on the cross, he shed his blood. He died and suffered the wrath of God that was our due. But upon the lamb it was laid. And when we feed by faith, and when we partake of Christ by faith, with the blood of Jesus sprinkled upon our hearts, and judgment will not come upon us for our sin. The Passover was a visible picture or presentation of the work of Christ in the gospel to save the souls of men from sin. What we have in verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 30 is Hezekiah inviting all Israel to come and behold the work of Christ. And as they would partake of the lamb literally, and as they would feed upon it literally, his prayer and his desire of his heart would be that they would partake of it spiritually by faith and turn unto him. We might say then, I believe we have every right to say Hezekiah had an evangelistic spirit. What he's really doing in verse 1, he's instituting an evangelistic campaign throughout the entire nation of Israel. It was his desire that the Israelites would be confronted and brought face to face again with the work of the Messiah, that they might receive it and believe upon it. I put it to you that we too are to have an evangelistic spirit. The Church of Jesus Christ was commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to take the invitation to men and women, to confront them with the message of the gospel, that they might have opportunity to partake of Christ and be saved by faith. And that is what we are endeavoring to do to mark our 50th anniversary. This congregation was constituted and began after an evangelistic campaign on the Brownstown Road in 1967. And to mark that, oh, we pray that God will not only give us that evangelistic spirit that those in that time had, but that God would bless it with the salvation of souls as he did then. But as I read of Hezekiah, I discover that before Hezekiah sent out those invitations and before he engaged in this evangelistic campaign, it was a nationwide campaign in Israel. Before he did that, before he sent out the posts, before he sent out the invitations, there were things that had to be done by way of preparation. This morning I want to preach to you on that theme, preparation, and I'm going to make it very personal. It's personal preparation for an evangelistic campaign. What did Hezekiah do by way of preparation for this evangelistic campaign of his? Well, first of all, there was a cleansing of the temple. One of the first things that Hezekiah did when he came to the throne and became king was to reopen and clean up or to cleanse the temple. It's summed up in verse 16, if you look at that verse, let's read it together. And the priests, I'm talking about verse 16 in chapter 29. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry it out abroad into the brook Kidron. What we discover as we read this chapter is that the temple had been closed up. The cleansing of the temple, it commenced with the opening of the doors. You'll see that in verse 3. Verse 16 just summarized the whole event, but the early part of this chapter goes into detail of what actually happened. The temple was cleansed, and what did that involve? Verse 3 tells us that in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. You see, his father Ahaz had closed the doors of the temple. He'd stopped the services. He had closed the doors, and the Lord was not worshipped in the temple, and the sacrifices and the services all ceased. And then in verse 5, we read that cleansing continued with a carrying out of the filthiness that was in the temple. Verse 5, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. Ahaz had not only closed the temple, but his apostasy and his worship of false gods and false idols had defiled the temple of the Lord, so that idols and images and rubbish had been brought into that place. And Hezekiah commanded that those things be taken out. The doors were opened, the filthiness and the rubbish was removed, and that cleansing of the temple, it included the lighting of the lamps, for they had been put out. Look at verse 7. They have shut the doors of the porch and put out the lamp, and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the Lord God of Israel. The lamps had been put out. Ahaz had closed the doors. He had brought defilement into the temple before he had closed those doors. And he had put out the lights. And of course, we know that the lamp or the light in Scripture is a symbol of God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. But though the temple had been defiled with rubbish and with idols, though the doors had been closed and the lamps had been put out, Hezekiah changed all that. And he had the priests and the Levites reopen the doors, carry out the rubbish, light the lights, and begin the services of the sanctuary again. And you see, before there is an evangelizing, there must be a purifying. And while the primary lesson has to be for the church of Jesus Christ, you see, the church of Christ, the body of the redeemed people of God, we are described in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 as a spiritual house, and it literally means a temple. We're lively stones built in. When you were saved, you were like a stone, and you were taken and you were built in to the building of Christ's church. And while the primary lesson from the cleansing of the temple is that the church of Christ must be pure, we must be free from the apostasy of idolatry and defilement. The doors must be open so that men and women can come and hear the gospel message, and the word of God as the light and the lamp can shine forth. Yet I want to put it to you this morning, there's a very personal lesson for every Christian. Because before there is an evangelizing, there must not only be a purifying in the body and in the church of Christ collectively, but there must be that purifying of our own hearts and our own lives if we would be used of God in the evangelism of others. Do you remember in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19? The Apostle Paul said, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And just as Hezekiah cleansed the literal temple before he engaged in that evangelistic campaign, so if we want to be used of God in evangelism, there must be that cleansing and that purifying of our temple, of our lives. The hymn writer said, we cannot be channels of blessing if we consciously and constantly trifle with sin. We will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. And if we would be used of God in effective evangelistic work, our lives must be clean and they must be pure. There must be a purging out of the old sin. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and you'll see that Paul states this in very, very clear and descriptive terms. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. The second part of verse 19, 2 Timothy chapter 2, the second part of verse 19, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. There's a precept or a command. If you name the name of Christ, if you claim to be a Christian, if you claim to be a follower of Him, then you're to depart from iniquity. And then in verse 20, you'll see there's not only a precept, but there's a picture. He says, but in a great house. And didn't Peter say that the church of Christ, the people of God, they're that spiritual house? And he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. That's the picture. We're vessels. We're vessels in the hand of the Lord to be used in His house and in His kingdom and for His work. And then you'll see in verse 21 there's a promise. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. And what Paul is telling Timothy is this, that you're a vessel. to be used of God. And the promise is, if you purge yourself from the old leaven, and you purge out the old sin, and you depart from iniquity, then you'll be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the Master's use. You'll be a vessel that He will be able and willing to use in His service. And the principle is this, that if we want to be used of the Lord, a vessel meet and ready and available for the Master's use, we must be sanctified. We must depart from iniquity. We must be holy. We must be clean. Our temples must be purged. I wonder today, can I ask you the question, are there things in your temple that ought not to be there? Is there the rubbish of sin? Is there the idols of the heart? Is there an attitude that is wrong either to the Lord or the Lord's people? And it needs a cleansing and it needs a purging. Oh, I say to you, before Hezekiah engaged in that effort to reach men and women and bring them face to face with the work of Christ, there was a cleansing of the temple. And may we search our hearts and try our ways, that as we get ready to engage in evangelistic endeavors, that our vessels will be purged, sanctified, and available and ready for the Master's use. Turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. I want to point out the second lesson this morning. There was not only a cleansing of the temple in preparation for this endeavor, but there was a consecration to service. Look at verse 35, after the temple was cleaned out and cleaned up, the services of the sanctuary began upon the instruction of Hezekiah to the priests. And you'll see in verse 35, it's summed up right at the end of that verse. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And what we discover is that the priests and the Levites, from verse 30 to the end of the chapter, we discover that the priests and the Levites and the congregation, they consecrated themselves to the service of God's house. The word consecrated, and you'll see it there in verse 31. Let me read it to you. Then Hezekiah answered and said, now, right now, and I wonder, you know, as we stood around the open grave on Friday, in Market Hill, the Reverend Elliot brought the word at the graveside. And he emphasized that now was the time to be saved. And now is the time to be saved. But let me say to God's people, now is also the time for you to consecrate yourself to the service of the Lord. Then Hezekiah answered and said, now, you're not to put it off. I'll do it when I have this done or that done or when I have the other done. You consecrate yourself now to the service of the Lord, and the other things will take care of themselves. Now have ye consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. And what does that word consecrated mean? It means to be devoted. It means to be dedicated. It means to be separated. And the priests, the Levites, and the congregation, they separated themselves under the service of the house of the Lord. And what did they give themselves to? What did they consecrate themselves to? Well, they consecrated themselves to the sacrifice of the Lord's house. Look at verse 21. And they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and 7 lambs and 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. Look at verse 31, the second part of verse 31. It tells us that, and the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. And of course, the sacrifice in the Old Testament was the chief symbol of the work of the cross. Oh, the cross was pictured in the feasts. But primarily the cross was pictured in the sacrifices of the brazen altar, where the lamb or the bullock or the goat or the young pigeons or turtle doves were sacrificed upon the altar. Their blood was shed and sprinkled, and their body was consumed in the fire, and it pictured the work of the cross. And by dedicating or consecrating themselves to the sacrifices of the temple, what in essence they were doing, they were consecrating themselves to the public ministry off the cross. Men and women, that's what we desire to do in the gospel mission. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my ransomed soul shall find rest beyond the river. And oh, I tell you, whenever God's people are being prepared for evangelism, their focus, their desire, their heart is set upon the work and the message of the cross. Will you consecrate yourself afresh to that ministry and to that work of presenting Jesus Christ publicly as the only Savior of sinners? Oh, they consecrated themselves to the sacrifice. But then you'll notice in verse 30, they consecrated themselves to the praise and worship of the Lord. Look at verse 30. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. They sang the praises with gladness. They bowed their heads in worship. Do you notice there's an order here, folks? First of all, the temple has been cleansed. The doors have been opened. The rubbish has been carried out. The lamps and the furniture has been set in their place. And then the sacrifice is brought. And the sacrifices and the sin offerings and the burnt offerings, they're being made. And then after those sacrifices are made, Hezekiah commands the people and he sets the Levites in their place to sing. You see, not all Levites were priests, but all priests were Levites, if that makes sense to you. And you see, some among the Levites were singers. And they were set in their place, and they began to sing, and they began to praise, and they began to worship the Lord. That verse 30 tells us what they sang. They sang the Psalms, the words of David and of Asaph the seer. That's the Psalms. That tells me they sang songs that were biblical, songs that were doctrinally correct and true, and they sang from the songbook of Scripture, the Psalter. That's why we believe we don't believe in exclusive psalm singing, but we do believe in singing psalms because it's set down in the Word of God that we should do so. The psalms that they sung and the songs they sung were full of biblical truth. That verse tells you how they sang, not only what they sang, but how they sang. They sang praises with gladness and they bowed their heads. There was rejoicing and there was reverence. We don't believe in singing like the world. We don't believe in jumping up and down. We believe in singing, yes, with rejoicing in our hearts, but with reverence unto the Lord. We're in His presence. We're giving Him the glory. It's singing isn't to get ourselves all worked up. It's to give glory and honor to Him. And they had reverence. They bowed their heads as they sang, but they were filled with joy because the words ministered to them. The truth of the Scriptures and those doctrines gripped their hearts. And oh, they sang praise. Yes, we're told what they sang and how they sang. But that verse tells us why they sang. They bowed their heads and worshipped. They sang to worship the Lord and to give Him all the praise and all the glory. For after days of apostasy and departure and difficulty for the people of God in the reign of Ahaz, Hezekiah's father, God had sent them a king who knew and loved him, and He reformed the temple. He opened the doors. He reinstituted the service and the worship of God. And that was something to sing about. My friend, as we prepare for evangelism, have you the joy of the Lord in your heart? Does it well up within you to sing praises and give thanks unto the Lord? This is the preparatory work. that the Lord does in the hearts of His people before He uses them in evangelism. Oh, may we know something about it. They were consecrated to the sacrifice. They were consecrated to the singing of praise. They were consecrated to the Lord's house. Look at verse 35. It says at the end, and I've already highlighted the end of that verse, but let me read it to you again. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. John Butler, in his book, In the Life of Hezekiah, states that the word service and the phrase set in order in verse 35 refers in the Hebrew to the worship services. And the idea is this, that the worship services were set in order. And what was that order? The biblical order. Everything done in the house of God was set in order according to the biblical pattern that Moses had given. And the people consecrated themselves to the services of the house of the Lord. You know, when God is moving among His people, they love the house of the Lord. I think of Psalm 84, the first and second and tenth verses, where the psalmist said, "How amiable are thy tabernacles," or as we sing, when we sing that psalm, "How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts to me." Went on to say, "A day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." You know, when God's moving and stirring and He's about to use His people, they love His house. They'd rather be in God's house than be anywhere else, for they love the services of the sanctuary, for they minister grace and blessing to their souls. I wonder this morning, does that describe you? Or has your love for God's house, is it waxing and waning cold? Oh, as we look at our hearts today, may we be prepared to cleanse our temple if need be. May we consecrate ourselves. And there's a wee verse, and it's coming to me as I speak, and I can't put my mind on it just exactly where it is. It's in Chronicles, but it asks the question, who will consecrate themselves this day to the service of the Lord? I wonder today, will you consecrate yourself afresh to the Lord's house and the Lord's cause and cry, "Lord, use us in evangelism"? You see, by way of preparation, there was not only the cleansing of the temple and the consecration to service, but there was a concern for souls. That's the final point this morning. Look at verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 30. "And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and to Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel." Why did Hezekiah write to all Israel and Judah to come to the feast? Because he had a concern for them. You know, as Hezekiah sent out that invitation in those letters, we're told in verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 30, "So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them." As those invitations were given out, there were those in the various cities and towns in Israel, and they just laughed Hezekiah to scorn. They mocked him. They belittled the invitation. They belittled the message. They made fun of it. They made light of it. They cast it aside. Now, why would Hezekiah, why would he give that invitation, knowing that there would be those who would mock him and laugh at him and pour scorn upon his efforts and his endeavors? I can come to only one conclusion. He was prepared to endure the mockery and the scorn because he had a genuine love and feeling and compassion for the souls of his fellow countrymen. He wanted them to take seriously the things of God. He wanted them to be confronted with the work of Christ. He wanted them to partake by faith of the Lord Jesus, the promised Messiah, and trust in Him for the removal and remission of their sins. Yet there were those who mocked them and scorned them. You know, the Apostle Paul had a similar concern. In Romans chapter 9 and verse 2 and 3, he said, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish myself accursed. And the word accursed literally means damned or doomed. I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. What a statement that was under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. I'm willing to be accursed and damned and doomed if my countrymen could be saved. What a statement that was. Paul could only write it by the inspiration of the Spirit. I wonder today, have we a concern? Oh, would you pray God will put a soul upon your heart with loved ones? For some, it's mothers or fathers. For some, it's brothers and sisters. For some, it's sons and daughters. For some, it's grandchildren. They're not saved. And if they died in their sin, they'd be lost and they'd be in hell. May the Lord grant us a concern for them, that we might, though there may be mockery and scorning and jibes made about the invitation to the gospel mission, to come and hear the message of salvation, may the Lord put them on our hearts, and may we seek, as Hezekiah did, to give them that invitation. Just in closing, if you look at verse 11, it is a wee word of encouragement as we close. For though he was laughed and scorned and mocked, it says, nevertheless, diverse of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. While there were some who mocked, there were others who came and who believed the message and participated in the feast, and we believe got right with God. And that's what we desire. We're praying, we're waiting, we're expecting God to work in the Armagh Road and save souls. There will be those who will reject the invitation, but we go in faith believing that there will be those who will receive it. May the Lord grant it. But before our evangelism, may the temple of our lives be clean. May our lives be consecrated to the Lord. And may there be a concern within us for the souls of men.